Okay, thank you, AGP, and good evening, everyone. This is the regular meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board for Wednesday, February 19th at 5:30 p.m. in the Veterans Hall in the city of Morro Bay. My name is Greg Qualick. I'm the Public Works Director. We do have a unique situation where Public Works Advisory Board does not yet have a chair or vice chair, so I will run the meeting until the election of that chair. And first we'll establish a quorum and call the meeting to order. So I call the meeting to order at 5:30. And for quorum, Board Member Donnelly, here. And please make sure the microphone's on with the green light. Board Member Dahlgren.
Here.
Board Member Gaudette.
Here.
That was close. Board Member Hill.
Here.
And Board Member Nava.
Here.
We have all five members present. We do have a quorum, and we'll take a brief moment of silence. Thank you. And we do have an honorary guest here, the mayor today, who I'll ask to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Join me in saluting our flag. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And are there any announcements from any of the advisory board members? General announcements. Public Works Director announcements. I just have one. I did send out an email earlier this afternoon. We are pleased that we have a final report on the inspection and assessment of the harbor revetments and seawalls. This is critical infrastructure. I don't believe it's ever been assessed since they were built. I could be wrong about that. We haven't really performed much maintenance on them. There are some questions as to the ownership of the revetments, for example, you know, who built them, did the Army Corps build them, and who's responsible for maintaining them. That said, we can't wait around for these kinds of discussions to conclude with the Army Corps. We need to understand what condition the facilities are in, and the City Council directed staff to do just that, and we've completed that. It is on the website, front page, home page, Hot Topics. If you also go to the Public Works landing page or the Harbor landing page, you can find it there as well. We will be bringing a full presentation of that assessment to this board, as well as to the Harbor Advisory Board. We may even do a joint meeting between those two boards, and then also to the City Council. There's some good information in there on some potential projects and cost estimates on those projects. So please take a look at that if you have a moment. That is my only announcement for today, and the next item is the election of chair and vice chair. I'd like to, if we could, get nominations for the chair and the vice chair together, and that way we can just do one vote, because we'll need a nomination, and we'll need a second, and assuming that it's accepted, we can take a vote, or if there's any discussion or if there's a competition, we could take a vote as well. So I'd ask any board member to either nominate another board member for chair and another board member for vice chair, or you can nominate yourself as well. Yes, Advisory Board Member Hill.
As he's the most senior, I would nominate Robert Nava as chair, and seeing as he's also been on the board before, Paul Donnelly as vice chair.
Okay, Mr. Nava, do you accept that nomination?
I have so many other obligations, I think it would be a bit of a stretch for me, and including the fact that I have requested 2 months off of board meetings this year.
Okay.
For a family trip.
That could be handled by the vice chair in your absence, but even given that, would you, your preference is to not be the chair?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have full-time obligations with my employer.
Okay.
Sometimes preclude me from being able to devote as much time as I'd like to this.
Okay, we appreciate that. And so with that, rather than make a call on vice chair just yet, let's see if we can get another viable chair nomination.
Well, since there's two other people that have been here already, so I'll nominate Doug Hill for the chair, if he's willing.
Okay.
And Doug, do you accept?
Yes.
Okay. Very well. And Mr. Donnelly, there's a nomination for you as vice chair. Do you accept that?
Yes.
Okay. And are there any other nominations? Going once, going twice. So I will ask that the board vote on Doug Hill being elected as chair and Paul Donnelly being elected as vice chair, and I'll do a roll call on that. Advisory Board Member Hill.
Aye.
Advisory Board Member Gaudette Cross.
Aye.
Advisory Board Member Nava.
Aye.
Advisory Board Member Dahlgren.
Aye.
Advisory Board Member Donnelly.
Aye.
Okay, so moved. So we now have a chair. Mr. Doug Hill, do you guys want to? Okay, that's perfect.
We'll swap.
Yeah, you might want to swap. Look better for the cameras. And we are now on page 2, Board Member Hill, where we'd be taking general public comment.
Thank you for taking this on.
Good evening. I just want to let you all know that this year I will be serving as your liaison for City Council. I'm very happy to have moved over to the Public Works Advisory Board and passed Planning Commission off to another council member. So I look forward to collaborating and working with you and being a representation for the council for you. And at any point in time, if I can be of assistance, you have any questions, concerns, anything, please feel free to reach out, call me on my cell phone or email me, and we can get together. Thank you all for your willingness to serve. Appreciate it.
So we move on to public comment now.
And if I may, you may ask AGP if there's any online comments.
AGP, are there any raised hands in the queue?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
And are there any public comments in the audience? Seeing as there's none, we will move on to the consent calendar. Do any board members wish to pull an item for discussion?
No.
And we'll also have to take public comment on consent.
I should do that first?
Yes.
Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? Seeing as there's none, I would ask that any board members have any questions on it?
I don't.
Well, being that I wasn't present at that meeting, I will abstain from this item.
I will abstain as well.
I guess with that, we'll close public comment. Any further discussion by the board?
No.
Can I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Yes, I move that we accept the consent for last month's meeting. The agenda.
We'll need a second.
I'll second that.
Okay, and I'll do a roll call. We have two abstentions, so Advisory Board Member Nava?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Dahlgren?
Yes.
And Chair Hill?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We'll now move on to business items. And the number, item B1 is to appoint a PWAB member to the city's Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee. Is there a presentation with this?
There's a very brief presentation, yes. So, good evening. I'm Erlon Singwald, your Community Development Director, and the purpose of this item is for the Public Works Advisory Board to nominate a member to the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee, which we've been calling WMPAC for short. So I have a very brief background to provide so you know what you'd be getting yourself into if you choose to join the WMPAC. So the city received a $750,000 local planning assistance grant from the California Coastal Commission to update the waterfront master plan. The waterfront master plan was first adopted in 1996 and hasn't been updated since that time. It is part of the city's local coastal program, so it is a very important part of the city's planning and zoning regulations. It's essentially the city's vision for development, land use, infrastructure, and circulation for the waterfront area of the city. The current waterfront master plan extends from Tidelands Park north to Morro Rock. The updated plan will expand the area boundary to also include the former wastewater treatment plant site. So just to give you kind of a sense of what would be included in that updated plan, so it would include a vision and goals for the future development, land use, circulation of the Embarcadero area and waterfront, an updated sea level rise analysis, vulnerability assessment and adaptation plan, a plaza plan and parking relocation plan for redeveloping the street end parking lots on the Embarcadero into public plazas, which is a requirement of the city general plan as those adjacent lease sites redevelop in the future. It would include master planning of the former wastewater treatment plant site and also the power plant property, and which is also required by the general plan. It also would include an identification of public facilities, infrastructure, and spaces needed to support the working waterfront, commercial fishing industry, and harbor. And there was also direction from council for the waterfront master plan update to include a consideration of operation and maintenance infrastructure for offshore wind development, or if there were a future proposal for offshore wind development, how might that look if incorporated into the city's waterfront as far as the associated infrastructure. So on January 14th, the City Council approved the formation of the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee to provide stakeholder input during the process of the Waterfront Master Plan update. Per council direction, the WMPAC would include one member from each of the five existing advisory board members, one member from the Embarcadero Master Leaseholders Group, and one member from the National Estuary Program. This is the fifth and final advisory board that I've gone to for a WMPAC nomination. The other four have already nominated a member. Next week, I'm going to the Embarcadero Master Leaseholders meeting to receive their nomination, and then we're working with the National Estuary Project to receive their nomination as well. Then I anticipate in March, we will go to City Council with a resolution for the council to formally acknowledge the representation and creation of the WMPAC, naming the individual members for the nominations from the individual groups. That's all I have for my presentation. One last thing, actually. So just to give you a sense of the time commitment, so the WMPAC would be required to meet at least once per month, and I estimate it would be a time commitment of around 8 to 12 hours per month for that participation for a two-year time frame. And that concludes my presentation. I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Director Singwall. We have any questions from the board?
No.
I have one question. This $750,000, this is for completion, this is for a study, correct?
So it's for the update to the waterfront master plan. So that would include multiple technical studies, including the sea level rise analysis and adaptation plan, but the final work product would be an updated waterfront master plan, which is a planning document.
Will we go through a bid process for consultation on this?
Yeah, actually, thank you for that question. So we did release a request for proposals that's currently available, and I don't have the close date on that in front of me, but it closes in about 3 weeks, I want to say, 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, that was my question.
On that $750,000 on these proposed consultants, are they coming in within that $750,000 or?
So that's a really good question. In fact, I got that question from a consultant earlier today. They called and asked, saying, so it's $750,000, the amount that we should be bidding. And I clarified, and this is actually spelled out in the request for proposals, that the city would like to reserve a portion of that amount for contingency, possibly for optional tasks, and also to reserve some of the budget to cover staff costs working on the plan. So we don't want to see proposals for the full $750,000. We do want to keep a buffer available for contingency.
And how many consultants have you reached out to?
Well, so it was posted on the city's bid, site. Many consultants have received it via the city website. I've personally reached out to probably four or five consultants, mostly consultants who had previously reached out to me, just asking to be included on on the list.
Do you have a final tally of how many consultants that you're looking at?
Yeah, I really won't know until it closes and we get the proposals.
Okay.
Is this separate from the power plant master plan, or is it going to include that as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, again, Plan Morro Bay, which is what we call our general plan and local coastal program, it does have a policy that requires a master plan to be prepared for the power plant property and also for the former wastewater treatment plant site before any future development or land uses can be established upon those properties. We did have the Vistra version of the power plant property master plan that really was designed more or less for that battery plant project. So there is some background information that's been prepared already for that. Of course, as we all know, the Vistra application currently is on hold as Vistra is contemplating, you know, going to the state through the CEC opt-in certification process. And so the city will use the waterfront master plan as an opportunity to also do the master planning for the power plant property, because of course that's a key site on the city's waterfront. And if there's any existing background information that's useful from the Vistra version of the master plan, that'll be used and incorporated by the consultant in the waterfront master plan.
That's it. Okay, with no more questions, let's open to public comment. Any members of the public wish to speak on this issue? As there are none shown, we're going to do AGP, are there any hands up in the queue?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. So we will close public comment with that. Any further discussion from the board? Do we have any board members who are interested in being appointed to the committee?
Yeah, I'd like to volunteer for that.
Okay. Is that...
I'd also like to volunteer too, but...
Okay. So do we hold a vote on that?
So I would say it's similar to the nomination of a chair and vice chair. So we would want a board member to make a nomination and get a second and a vote.
I nominate Paul Donnelly.
And I will nominate Derek Dahlgren.
So is there a second on the nomination for Paul Donnelly?
Yes, I'd like to second that nomination for
Okay.
Paul.
Okay, and I'm not the expert at Robert's Rules of Order. Is there an opportunity to...
The first one.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a nomination by Advisory Board Member Gaudette Cross and a second by Advisory Board Member Nava for nomination of Paul Donnelly. And I'll do a roll call here. So Advisory Board Member Donnelly?
Aye. Yes.
Advisory Board Member Dahlgren?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Gaudette Cross?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Nava?
Yes.
Okay, so we have a 5-0 vote, and we have our nominee.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll move on now to the next item, item B2, City Council Goals and Objectives Update, and receipt of the PWAB input for upcoming goals and objectives.
You have to.
Give me one second.
Thank you.
Director Qualley, we have a...
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Director is loading up, and while Greg is loading it up, let me say how pleased I am have the chance to appear before this wonderful board. And I'm Yvonne Kimball. I'm the city manager. I know I met all of you at different functions, but this is actually my first time attend a PWAP meeting. I hope that you enjoy what you do, and I thank you for what you do to help the city, help the department, help city council. We really would not be able to accomplish so much things without a contribution from this board. Okay, so my presentation is loaded. We are, as you all know, the city council have a strategic goal setting session that is outlined by a resolution. And as city council entering into this next 2 year goal setting process, the directors and I are visiting advisory committees. Yesterday we presented at CFAC, the Finance Advisory Committee, and today we are here to speak with you. So for tonight, I have five things, quick things I want to go over. The first part, we talk about strategic goal setting process and outline the public engagement opportunities, because it's very important that the public are involved and engaged in the whole process. And then we wanted to present you a financial forecast so that set some stage for the goal discussion. And then moving on to talk about the status of the current goal, the 2025 to 2029 goals. And I will need Public Works Director colleagues' help to present that, to update you on that one. And then lastly, and very importantly, we want to hear from you, from the board. So the process, here's on, okay. This entire process was established by City Council Resolution 8318. This was adopted in 2018. The framework is intended to ensure that annual budgets advance adopted goals. So this is strategic, but we need to all tie back into the annual budget. In order to accomplish this strategic goal and this goal, this entire process, substantial public input and a consideration of the city's financial position is very much important, critical to this process. Earlier, we touched upon the public engagement opportunities. As you see to your right, the presentation on the right-hand side, this is a process we're taking. The first part is the survey, which the survey has been sent out, and we received over 500 responses, and last cycle was only 200 responses, so we doubled the last time. The survey results was interesting so far. The preliminary report indicated that our city has a very stable and relatively older population base, but they have strong ties to the community. And the community felt that the financial stability is going to be a concern for the future. Also, it appears that there is a disconnect between the satisfaction with quality of life and concerns about the city's economic health. So we have very insightful respondents. And with that, that's a good lead way to present you with this physical 10-year long-range physical forecast. This slide was prepared by the city's finance department. The city has a policy to prepare a 10-year financial forecast. And then this can be helpful to provide a longer term forecast so we can take actions sooner, not wait until last minute. You look at this is clearly demonstrate that our expenditures grow much faster than the revenues. look at year out, we would be not having surplus. So this is really, you know, in order to, we certainly, ideally, we would want to have a balanced forecast, but rarely I have seen cities have a balanced forecast, just because for a 10-year forecast, it's very, very challenging. You have to make a lot of assumptions, and things happen, things change, and so it's difficult to do. On the other hand, this is concerning for us to see that within a few years, we at this speed of spending, this speed of revenue, we are not going to be able to sustain. So I wanted to break this the earlier slides into parts so you can have a better perspective put in the context. This one, we are looking at just operation. If we're just looking at operation budget, and we are okay within the 10 years. Again, it's a lot of assumptions being made. It's a lot better than the prior slides where everything is included. And then now the next one you will see, the next one is a capital needs forecast. So the orange bar means the funds available, and then the line means the needs. Again, it's with a lot of assumption, but the point is that there's very narrow or decreasing margin for capital projects in the future. So I put a couple of solutions because we want to not just always present issues. The solutions will be we need a better tracking existing projects where they are, and then we know the funding, and then so we have better idea what can we pivot during the course, or what do we need to do? And also, we have a lot of projects that existing, and the way to conquer this forecast deficit is to prioritize what we got going on. So I'm going to move on to the current city goals 2023 to 25. The current goals. There's four areas of focus: public infrastructure, economic vitality, housing homelessness response, and community engagement, and a total of 27 short-term actions were identified within these four areas. And for this board, your primary focus will be the public infrastructure. We'll go into that in more detail. As of December of last year, the staff and the community complete majority of the 27 short-term action items. So we have a few we're still working on. We're gonna get into the details on that. The public infrastructure, I would like to take this take a closer look at this one, because this one is very, very close related to the Public Works Department and then this board. So for street paving, and we done well. We have a goal that we're gonna finish. It looked like we're gonna finish everything by May of this year, and City Council has allocated altogether over $4 million for this project. So it is my understanding that this perhaps is the largest in our city's recent history for paving. So that's great accomplishment. We look forward to that. And then the capital needs assessment, we took a different approach on this. We modified this and somewhat. When it's originally being presented, the intent was to conduct a study, and then when Public Works Director seeks proposals for the study, it turned out it's going to be very expensive. So we, in speaking with some council members, we decided let's modify it, let's change, let's pivot, because we have other things we need to do. So we decided to to use this funding to change our focus rather to the revetment study which earlier director colleague has just made announcement for. So that's we have the report and we're going to present the report in more detail at a later date. So that's on this one, and then let me see. The next one is I'm changing my page and all. No, go back. It's the update City Council chamber, and that has been working on, and we will have some options for City Council to consider. For those who follow City Council meetings, you know we had very helpful and lengthy discussion on this item, so we should be able to get the final results very, very soon. And I really want to talk about this storm recovery efforts. This goal was identified right after the city went through the flooding events. And I know I wasn't here at that time, but I understand the city suffered a lot of damages. And City Council made it very clear during that goal setting session that this is going to be the priority for the next couple years. And city staff took that directive very seriously, and the city staff worked with the FEMA tirelessly, and the FEMA really wore out, and now we're at our second city engineer on this subject already. You just know that it's what a time-consuming project that is. But it is very worthwhile, and during last week's DC meeting, the mayor, the Hubbard Vitality Director, and I met with the FEMA headquarters, and they told us that we are looking at to get our claims reimbursed soon. So that's about $1 million. So I think that speaks volume to the productivity and then the tenacity of this group, the Public Works Department, the City Engineering, the everybody in Public Works, and leadership of Greg Kolick. So so that's we're doing that on the FEMA end. We also the city has done a lot of just day-to-day maintenance to make sure the drainage and the system being kept up correctly, so then we can weather storm. And we also recently, I know Cindy can speak on that. We also received a grant from COOES to give us, I think it's a $2 million for a study on a regional drainage and flush watershed study. So it's good news. We're making a lot of progress on this end, and I am pleased to share that with this board. And with that, I move on to public safety needs assessment. That's not very directly related to Public Works Department, and the Fire Department is a lead on that one. Now, the last short-term action under this area of focus is the streetscape and road striping and parking lines and stuff. And so for that one, I thought I'd just share with you some pictures. That's probably give you a better idea of the Busan ground work and then the effectiveness of what we do. Those are in-house. Those are done by in-house. You can see our folks are striping and doing things. And then there's some other things to show that the median, the picture to your left, and showed that this creative medium work that Public Works Maintenance Division come up with, so to help with drainage, deflect the rainwater when it's rain. And then you see this, the other side is the striping of the city road. And here are two sets of before and after pictures to show the sidewalk work that this department have taken on. You see the uneven surface and the holes, and our department taking care of that. And then other picture. That's not quite related to the goals, but I just I can't help. I really love that picture with the ocean. That's a Franklin Park, a project that the city collaborated with other agencies. So I thought that's a good thing to show, that just some accomplishment. And then the trees, this tree, after a storm, there's tree fallen, and so our department would clear the tree. So when you see the picture, you can see the magnitude of the tree, how large this tree is. And you can see it's a lot of work to get to remove the tree. Okay, so that's my show and tell for public infrastructure. Next slide, we're talking about economic vitality, which is also city council's one of the city council's area of focus. In here, the majority of the items here are related, are being led by community development department, and public works is somewhat involved. For example, on the grant opportunities, Coleman Beach area, and so on and so forth, and boat ramp improvement. And of course, Public Works Department is involved in all the important project that the city has. For example, the parking, the potential paid parking program at the Rock. So for housing, we did pretty well on that one. As this board may or may not remember, the city passed a camping ordinance earlier last year, in 2024, and then that had really helped us to help the police department to enforce some of the regulations and helped clean up Quintana Road area. I'm going to move on since they're not directly immediately related to this board. Community engagement, under here we did very well. City council members have their own individual outreach programs, and they're continue doing that, and we thank them for that. And the city council also had joint meetings with advisory committees, and I believe this committee had met with city council, a joint meeting, and this board had also met with CFAC at a joint meeting. And then perhaps a HAB as well. So those are very good community outreach activities. So that's a quick update of the current goals. Now moving forward to the new goal process, what I wanted to hear from you tonight is your input. There were some questions I put on the slides here. I want you to consider if the current goals, the current four areas of focus, are they reflect the community's needs? Oh, sorry, I should change that to PWEB. I had CFAC, but it's the same. I apologize for that. And then if these goals, if in your view those goals, the area focuses are good, and so then maybe you can modify, give some suggestion how to modify them, be more or clarify them. And if you don't think they reflect the needs of the community, and what are the goals that you would suggest City Council to consider? And then the second thing I wanted to ask this board to provide some suggestions to be included in the work plan for you that you and the City Council can hold each other accountable for. And then the last one, we just wanted to let the board know that I showed the 10-year projection earlier, and I wanted to make sure that on the board understand when you come up with goals, you want to consider the financial situation, and also want to consider the workload of your staff. So that's that's pretty much concluded my, I have one more slide, just to, again, this is information for you to see these, give some ideas if you wanted to know what, how discussable for some examples that you can use. And so that's conclude my presentation.
Okay. Mr. Qualick, do you have any comments on the presentation?
Thank you for the question. At this time, no. I expect that once Public Works Advisory Board has some discussion on this, I'll chime in with some thoughts about potential activities or projects that could be included.
So perhaps I should go back to the question that I wanted the board to consider. The first one is, do the current city, here, let's put on this one, do the current city four area focus and short-term goals address needs and priorities of the community, particularly in relationship to PWAP and the Public Works Department's responsibility? And the four area of responsibility, let's go back to.
And I'll just add that it's in the staff report as well,
okay,
on the first page, the public infrastructure, economic vitality, housing, homelessness response, and community engagement.
Thank you.
So, is there any questions from the board?
On the capital projects that you list here, what are our sources of revenues to pay for that?
Thank you for the question. We have a lot of sources of revenue for the capital projects that we have. Are you asking about the specific projects that were part of the short-term actions and the goals, or just generally speaking?
Well, it seems like there's a lot on the plate, and I remember when you guys prioritized these things before, it seemed to me that the things that are most urgent are at the top of the list. But you have this last page, you have a lot of things on here. One, you have the Coleman Park, but you don't say anything about it, what the information is for it. So I remember years ago you had a plan, you had money for the restoration of the restroom. I don't know what happened to it. The other item that's on here is about the roundabout at 41 and Main. I met last month with John DeNunzio from SLOCOG, and he asked me about that. He says that Caltrans planned a big major paving project from the gun range out to Oak Creek, and would like to include that as part of their project, but they need that environmental documentation like the end of this summer. But you have on here, it'd be completed this year. So is that something that's still in the works? Are we going to meet that deadline, and is Caltrans going to take that on?
I'll let the city engineer answer the question about the roundabout, and I'll answer your other question.
Is that good? Environmental documents are in the works, and they're now scheduled to be complete January 2026. So that's approximately a year from now, which we've had meetings with Caltrans, and they have agreed that that schedule did slip, as all these things almost always do. There's a lot of people involved on Caltrans' side in the environmental docs, and it's been interesting scheduling that. But it is on board, meets their schedule to swallow it into the Caltrans project in the long term. Another hiccup has occurred with the current federal funding issues, and that it's not known yet how that's going to impact this project and every project in the country, perhaps.
It's my understanding that we're obligated to pay for this environmental documentation, and then after that, it's all state.
So I'll take that one. So thank you for the question. Currently, we're paying for the environmental document mostly with development impact fees that were specific to this project. Our goal is to not use the Q&E money or use it very minimally so that we may have an opportunity to claw it back once we pass it off to Caltrans. And that's what we're using to pay for the environmental document. Once the environmental document is approved by the City Council, then we transfer it to Caltrans and we're done. And by we're done, we'll still be involved in the project and certain design elements for pedestrian safety. but we are no longer responsible for delivering the project.
Thank you.
Yep, and I'll answer the other question about Coleman Park. So we had some money for a restroom, not quite enough. If you put in a restroom, you gotta put in ADA access. And so we sought out more money, and that money was contingent upon us doing new scope. So we were successful in receiving a grant. We then had a lead on another grant to help kind of complete the picture from a funding standpoint. And to be honest, it was deprioritized in the department in lieu of getting other things done, other projects done. We did submit a sub-application for that second grant, and it looked promising at the time. I've since delegated that project to a different staff person in the department, in the engineering division, that does have the time to work on it. And so he's doing that now, and we should have some updates in the coming months. But that is the status of that project. I understand there's great urgency to get a restroom back there. And it's a terrible inconvenience to many people that it's not there. And so, you know, that will be a question when we bring this to the City Council next week. We're bringing to the City Council next week a capital projects prioritization item on Tuesday. We did bring that to the Public Works Advisory Board in a joint meeting with the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. And so that one is at the top of our list, or among the few that are at the top of the list.
Any other questions?
I have a question. This one might be an easy one to answer. I'm just unfamiliar with the term upzoning as regards to the Seashell Estate property over there.
Thank you for the question. And that, of course, is not something that the Public Works Department handles, but the Community Development Department. And so upzoning would be the increase in density. So if you have an area of the city that's zoned for single-family homes, for example, and the city wishes, for example, to provide for greater affordable housing, there's one theory that the more supply you have, the more affordable housing comes, and therefore you want to have more than one house on a lot. Well, now the city needs to change the zoning in that neighborhood to allow for those multi-unit developments.
Thanks. And then my other question is related to the list of priorities for capital projects. Mm-hmm. A few months back, city staff prepared a matrix that helped to prioritize the projects, and we were told that it was a test or a beta. Some process that you were exploring. I found great value in that, in helping to put numerical values to priorities and prioritizing it. Is there any progress on that process?
Thank you for the question, Advisory Board Member Nava. There is, but you may not like the answer. We've decided to abandon that matrix because what was happening was we would have a rational matrix, and then the outputs, we didn't agree with the outputs. So we would find a project critical in a way that couldn't always be captured in the matrix. And so then we found ourselves adjusting the matrix to meet our opinions about what's a priority. And at that point, there's really no purpose of having the matrix anymore. So the approach that we're taking for the report that's going to go to City Council next week is to offer what is a priority from an engineering standpoint. Is something critical infrastructure that is threatened or vulnerable? Are there grant deadlines that are pending that the city could lose money if we don't spend it? And other concerns like that. And we used our own professional expertise and experience to make decisions about what was a priority.
That's a very reasonable approach as well. Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome.
You have a question? Go ahead.
Is this the time to ask questions about things on page 7? Are we there yet?
You certainly can. Yeah, we can.
Oh, okay. Well, I just had a couple of questions. On the bullet that says complete capital needs assessment, what does that entail, and has it been done before?
Thank you for the question, Advisory Board Member Godette Cross. I tried to say it fast, thinking it would just slide out, and it didn't. So those are items that are previous priorities, and the complete capital needs assessment is a priority in our current two-year goal time period. And we are saying that we've completed that goal because we did the harbor revetment and seawall assessment. There was initially a vision to do an assessment of all city infrastructure. We had nowhere near the amount of money to do it. And for a city our size, with our resources, we sometimes face the problem of, you know, we get these nice assessments and we pay a lot of money for them, and then we don't have the money then to do the work or the time to do the work because now we're on to the next assessment. And it sits on a binder, on a shelf somewhere. And so there are certain areas with regard to infrastructure that we want a professional assessment. For example, the revetment and seawall assessment utilized some very sophisticated technology to give us information about the condition of the revetments and seawalls that we would not otherwise have been able to do. And from our standpoint, that was worth the money because that infrastructure is what's holding the harbor together, literally. And if we lose the harbor, that would just be a tragedy. And that is the sort of thing that we can lose over time without anyone really noticing, because the condition degrades slowly over time incrementally. So, you know, in theory, there could be a concept where we do go back out and we complete a conditions assessment of all parks, all sidewalks, just everything, all of our facilities. We can have a space planning exercise there where we determine whether we have appropriate amount of space for staff or other city functions. We could do that. It's probably going to cost in the neighborhood of $750,000 to $1 million. And we just don't really have that sort of money. So we at this time would advise to not do that.
I was wondering if there was anything in this plan about the panorama and the landslides.
Thank you for the question. There's not. Our department certainly is involved in the study of the impacts of that development, and that is something that the engineering division is in part responsible for. That is just something that has to happen. That is a requirement of the permitting process and the public process. So, of course, if that, you know, if the Public Works Advisory Board desired that was an area of special emphasis to call out as part of the goals process, of course, that's at the board's discretion. But I just want to make sure it's conveyed that we would be doing that regardless of whether or not it was a goal or priority, just because we have to.
And how about the landslide at the wastewater treatment?
Thank you for the question. There were two. I'm not sure exactly what you're asking about that. Those were mitigated at the time, and there haven't been any since. There's a series of drainage ditches up on the hill there that are in part designed to prevent it from happening again. It's not to say it won't happen again, but.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? I had a comment and a couple of comments, actually. With regard to the goals, this is not a PWAB necessarily comment, but it seems item 3 is pretty much complete,
And could that not be removed from this goal list, the housing and homelessness?
The housing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's something that this board would like to recommend the city council to consider, yes, you can say that we felt that homelessness is not a priority for the community anymore, and so you can recommend remove that from the list of focus.
I wasn't suggesting it isn't a priority, but the goals that were set have mm-hmm. pretty much been met with the development and also with the new homeless rules that mm-hmm. the city council.
Yeah, the homelessness issue is really a very complex issue. Like we know, it's there. It's always there, and we just need to address that. And you're right. Our short-term goal, short-term action, has been finished. Then we can modify that. Let me see what exactly is said.
Well, my comment is, I think it would give us more bandwidth in other goals. To do to for staff or for this board to address, and so it seems like maybe that's something that could come off the list. Just a comment, not
sure.
A question.
Yeah, we'll relate to the city council.
We can make a recommendation to that or vote for a recommendation to that. The other comment I had was I noticed that we're doing a lot of in-house stuff, sidewalk repairs, mm-hmm. and striping, and I want to congratulate you all for doing that. I think that probably saves the city a lot of money than to go out on these little odds and ends and fix sidewalks and do striping. Is it my understanding that we now own the striping equipment? Because some time ago we did not.
Thank you for the question, Advisory Board Member Hill. Just want to clarify, typically concrete work we do contract out, so sidewalk work. There's required slopes for ADA. And sometimes tricky curves that really requires a skilled tradesperson to do. And that's not quite the makeup of our, it's not that our maintenance staff is unskilled at all, but we don't have a specialist who does concrete. However, we have brought a couple things partially in-house that used to be fully contract, for example, tree trimming. And we've bought some of our own equipment and we've been saving a lot of money. It's very expensive to trim trees with a contractor, especially when it's a municipal job. And so, and the striping, we've always had the equipment. That's a bit of a reluctant one for us. There's sort of a cost benefit there that maybe we don't always meet. When we do the striping ourselves, it looks good for 3 weeks, but once the cars drive over it, it looks like it's 10 years old again. And that's because we don't have the equipment to do the thermo striping. And there are some challenges with putting striping on roads that are crumbling. And so we have historically taken the approach as a department to add striping into paving contracts. So when we pave a road, that road then gets striped after the paving's done. And so, again, that's typically been our approach. We've taken a bit more nuanced approach lately where if we see an area that obviously needs freshened striping, like on Morbay Boulevard recently we did some, then we'll go and do it. Oftentimes we get service requests on the app. If for those of you that don't know, you can download the city's app and request like a work order, and we'll go and do it, or we'll respond. And so we have responded to some of those. And then there's the curb painting is a funny one too, because there is a new law in California, AB 413, that does not, or that allows jurisdictions to enforce no parking 20 feet from a crosswalk at an intersection, or 15 feet if there's a bulb out. And the way that our current striping is for parking, especially on the Embarcadero and Morbay Boulevard, it does not, it's not configured for that. We're gonna have to change where those white painted T's are in the road, and then therefore where the green parking is and where the red is. We're actually going to lose quite a bit of parking spots on the Embarcadero and in the downtown. And we have someone in the department who's doing an analysis of that right now. I'm glad we didn't do that curb painting in the past 2 years because we're going to have to do a lot of it over again. And so we did a little bit, and I actually put a stop to it because we don't want to do the same job twice. So once we determine exactly where that that curb painting and those tees need to go, then we'll go in and do all that work.
Thank you. Would it be appropriate for this board to comment on those goals and suggest that that item be removed?
Absolutely, but I would suggest maybe taking public comment.
Okay. So is there any public comment on these items? 8GP, do we have any raised hands in the queue on these items?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. Any further board discussion? I think that would be the appropriate time to make a recommendation.
Yes, it is. I'd like to throw a couple ideas out there if that's okay.
Certainly.
So part of the reason we put that spreadsheet in the back of this item that lists about 40 projects is just for some perspective. Many of these are high priority. Many of these are critical. Many of these, if we defer the work, it just gets more expensive. And so just some context for the workload that we have and the difficulty of, you know, adding new projects into that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But in terms of projects that we think would be valuable, at least for our operations, particularly in engineering and maintenance, the first is, and utilities, the first is the development of a capital improvement plan. To my knowledge, and I may be wrong, I haven't seen it, but to my knowledge, I don't believe the city has ever had a formal CIP. And it's pretty standard in larger cities and larger jurisdictions. Small cities like ours don't always have one. We don't always need one. However, given that we have 40-odd capital projects, and we may have more coming, a CIP plans out at either a 5-year time interval or 10-year time interval what projects we're going to be working on. So we'll have a prioritization, but then we'll actually commit to some time goals, not that they're not adjustable. We don't have that now. The traditional way of doing that is to go to a consultant and get all the assessments and find out what the priorities are and then do it. In my view, we don't necessarily need to spend money on it. We could do the CIP internally, maybe hold a couple of public meetings on it. And over the 2 years, as we start knocking out some of the projects from our backlog, we can also plan for the future. And that would include harbor infrastructure and water sewer infrastructure and other infrastructure as well. So that is one idea that we could set for a goal, and I think that the Public Works Advisory Board would have a significant role in that over the next 2 years if that were to become a goal, and one that would be very appropriate for this board. Another goal that we could look at doing under public infrastructure or look at recommending to the City Council is a tune-up of our service request system. That's our app. We also have a button on our web page. You know, you want to submit a service request. We've mostly developed that internally, and I've heard many complaints that people have trouble navigating the system. It's confusing. I also have heard many people who love using it, and it's very simple to use for them. But the Public Works Advisory Board, perhaps in collaboration with the department, could potentially work on just making that easier to use and making it better. A lot of people complain about beautification and cleanliness. We need eyes and ears on the street. We're not always out there, and the public is really best suited to do that. But if our system is clunky, a lot of them try to use it. It doesn't work the way they feel it should, and they just give up, and they never look at it again. So that could be a potential item that, you know, we could all work together on that you may want to recommend to the City Council. And then finally, a water supply portfolio, SWOT analysis, or some sort of analysis. We have some good points about our water supply. We have some not so good points. We have opportunities and we have threats. And the last serious analysis that was done was in 2018 as part of the One Water Plan. But it, you know, a lot has happened since then. The county is looking at no longer backing up the state water subcontractors in times when we run out of water. Historically, the county has backed us up. When we run out of water, we start taking their state water, their stored state water. And what we're hearing is that that's no longer going to be the case. That's not, you know, to say that they've already instituted those policies, but we're being told that that's coming. Well, what does that mean for our water supply? In 2022, I'm trying to get my year straight now. In 2022, and don't quote me on that. No, it can't be 2023. That's when it rained. In 2022, we actually ran out of water in about August, and then we got backed up by the county supply. So if the county stopped doing that, we would have our groundwater, and that's it. And in a drought year, or in a you know, a three-year stretch of drought years, that water may not be in our ground. Maybe recycled water will help. Maybe it'll give us six more months, maybe, and then what? And so I think there's potentially a lot of really important questions that this board could play a role in helping the city understand, like, what's our plan? Do we have some opportunities here? Some of our neighbors, some other, you know, there's a whole desal project that's being talked about. So that would be just my third suggestion.
Wouldn't most of those items come under the public infrastructure heading? I mean, those are all really great suggestions, but I'm just looking at the idea of expanding bandwidth for the goals that are currently on here.
Yes, and I apologize. I'm really talking about short-term action plans within the public infrastructure goal, yes.
Okay.
On your capital needs assessment, that's what you were talking about, the
plan.
Yeah. I feel that would be a good item, as long as we kept it more in-house and not go out to a consultant, because realistically this could be broken down to like a five-year plan that I'm used to working with. You know what projects are funded, what you have money for, you bring that up in the queue, and it's an evergreen document. It's always rolling. So this is very easily done in-house, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, with that, I'm not sure that there's any action item here for the board to proceed on. I did suggest we remove that item, but I don't think that's a subject of this board.
Sorry, which one?
The item three, the homeless and housing.
Homeless. Mm-hmm.
I would just focus. Thinking that it would give us more bandwidth for other items.
Let's move back to that one so we can see this one.
Yeah, the short-term items here have been mostly completed. I'm not suggesting that we don't ever have a homeless problem again, nor that we need, you know, reasonable housing. But that's not currently in the goal, so.
Right. So, right. You're absolutely correct. Thank you. Most of the items are the things we can complete or already complete, like speed up processing ADU permits, and these are things we've done those things. And identify affordable housing incentive program, that's going to be, it's a forever thing. And then, not that we're on this subject, the community development, one of the major accomplishments for the department was to the adoption of the certification of the planning of the zoning code. And with that, the new zoning code had addressed a lot of these things because the state law had changed on housing and changed really quickly to address the question, there's no specific short-term action goal related to encampment cleanup or something like that, but that's something we're doing because that's the since we get the most comments from the public as far as the encampment goes. So I can if it's a desire of this board that how the homeless it's going to be there, it's not really consider our resources, including finance resource and personnel resources, it doesn't need to be one of the priorities. That's certainly something that we can convey to City Council.
I'd like to make a motion to pass that recommendation on to the City Council.
I second it.
Okay, and we'll do a round the room vote. Advisory Board Member Nava.
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Gaudette Cross.
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Hill.
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Dahlgren.
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Donnelly.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. And before we move on, I just want to make sure that,
other things.
That the city manager is getting what she needs.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Director Collick. Yes, so we had that one. That's great. And Director has suggested three potential items for the board to bring to suggest to City Council as your as one of the as the short some of the short-term action items for the future, and that can also being turned into a work plan for this board. So I want to make sure that I have a consensus from the board that the both three items that Greg suggested.
And if there's any others that you all would want to see.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
May I say something?
Sure.
Okay. You brought up the fact of water being an potential issue. And I'm also looking here at community engagement. And what is being done as far as, back in the 70s, Jimmy Carter, we talked a lot about conservation. And that would be a way of involving the community is reminding them of how important it is to conserve. Mm-hmm. Is that something that?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. This is something that we bring to the council once a year, usually around May or June. And I don't recall exactly what water conservation level we're at now, but there are some restrictions in place to conserve water currently in the community. And I personally would agree with you that this is an important topic. And I think the way to do outreach is, we can do that in a lot of ways. I guess the question is that, could we roll that into a water supply portfolio analysis where that's an opportunity, is in terms of, maybe we just use less water. So, yeah.
A PR campaign. I mean, sure. We used to conserve. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I have buckets in my shower, mm-hmm. and I, always I'm trying to catch my water. I have a watering can in my kitchen sink, but I don't think many people do that anymore. But I've been doing it forever.
That's probably true. I know that we've given restaurants in the past, not recently, but when I first started working for the city, there was a drought. We gave mm-hmm. restaurants these little notices about, you have to ask for water rather than the waiter just serving the water. And at motels and hotels, we make a note about, and again, I don't remember the exact content, but they'd hang little placards in the restrooms. And it's, if to encourage people to not throw their towels on the floor so that they don't have to get washed every single day to save water. So we've done things like that. There's certainly a lot more we could do.
Thank you.
Yeah, you could add a suggestion as far as under outreach to talk about water conservation effort and make a specific item to identify water conservation efforts. So if that's the board's desire, you could add to that. And I also want to follow up, if we're going to make a motion, I also want to follow up one thing one of the members brought up is to remove the curb painting from the future short-term goal. So I want to make sure that you still...
Curb painting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
You either want to consider that or was I just didn't want to not follow up on that.
I'm not sure that I would recommend removing that at this time. So.
Well, with the curb painting, there's also enforcement. And is it a benefit to the city if the curbs are painted correctly so that we can enforce the no parking requirements? And is that something that the city would want to pursue?
Thank you for the question. It's a very timely one. It's something that we're looking at with the overall picture of enforcement and parking and potentially paid parking at the Rock parking lot. So I won't talk about our enforcement practices here right now, but obviously if we painted the curbs and we had all the white tees in the road straight, it'd be a lot easier to enforce. And there's also kind of a psychological element to if you see the green curb and you park there, then you're probably just going to obey the regulation whether we're enforcing or not. So I guess I would just maybe say overall, if you could put yourself in the city council's shoes, that they will look at the last period's goals as sort of a basis, as a conversation starter. And so currently you see what's in the public infrastructure goal. Is there anything there that you'd want to add in? Is there anything you'd want to take out as a board? And what suggestions would you want to give to the city council on that?
You know, obviously the paving projects are paramount to most people in the city. I think the council gets the most complaints about the conditions of our streets. It's the biggest public works project that we do, and I think you really have to emphasize that. So,
I have a question. Carlos did the quick strike paving repairs, and it was below a certain threshold. Is it possible to continue doing those quick strike type projects? I know it's off subject here.
No, I'll take it. Thank you for the question. Yes, it is. And we love those because it allows us to target specific areas without doing a whole lot of design and bidding and all that. The flip side of that is it's a bit more expensive, right? If you get a contractor to come out to do those small jobs, you're not really getting the efficiency in terms of cost. And if we do too much of that, it starts looking like we're breaking up a larger capital project that we really need to be bidding out, which is against state law. It's against the public contract code. So yes, we do it. We do it here and there. We try to limit those activities and make the most of them. And they've been working very well. Everyone's very happy. But there are some constraints there that we must follow.
Thank you.
Just had a comment. You threw a lot of stuff at us there in that little speech you did there. Is there possible we could get some bullet points on that and hold off on making recommendations from this board? Or is that something the city council needs urgently?
The answer is yes and no. I have a plenty from this board. Your discussion is very helpful for me. And I wanted to point out the next steps. And so the next step is a community forum, which is going to be held on March 13th in the evening time. So all the public is invited to attend that forum, and there you can continue giving your individual suggestions. And as far as this board goes, I had a few things. For example, the homeless, that was a former motion, so we're going to relate that to City Council. And the three things that Public Works Director suggest that to add to future short-term goals. I think I get a consensus. I would like to hear your position on that one. And then if you come up with more things, we would like to get the input to the City Council by early March. So I don't know the timing would work.
And I'll just add to that. I can go over them at a high level again, not in the level that I did earlier, if that's desired.
Sure.
Yeah, so just very briefly, one is the capital improvement plan. That's where we plan out either 5 or 10 years of work for capital projects. So that's one. The other one is the water supply portfolio. And the third is fine-tuning the work order system with this board taking a leadership role, helping us find the errors, maybe even promoting it.
That's so, regard to the app on the website?
This is the app, yeah.
This wouldn't be involving your internal work order system.
It's funny you ask that. That's correct. But it's all kind of related on the back end, and so improvements that would be made to the app, we could also, that would also help us internally. Right now, internally, it's manual. You know, fire chief will call Carlos, hey, the cistern is busted. Carlos enters it in, and so is there an efficiency there that we could achieve maybe? But anyway, those are the three: CIP, the capital improvement plan, water supply portfolio, and the work order system improvements.
Do you need a motion to include that, or just consensus?
Since I would like, I prefer a motion because the other one that was handled by motion, so I think that would be appropriate.
Okay, I move that we include the items that Craig just discussed.
Yeah, I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Advisory Board Member Donnelly?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Dahlgren?
Yes.
Chair Hill?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Claudette Cross?
Yes.
Advisory Board Member Nava?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. And I really want to thank you for your input and Director Pollack's participation in this discussion. And I wanted to let the board know that we're going to bring all these things before the City Council, including your CFAC and the other advisory committee, and also the community forum. So City Council would have a lot to consider, and then we'll see what, by the end of the day, the balanced out, what is going to be appear to the goal setting process to be determined on that. And I also want to stress that these items we ask the board to consider, they don't really necessarily cost a lot of money. Those are the things that we'd like to do in-house. We try to do these things. Well, our intention is handle them through the existing resources. So that support the earlier discussion regarding the concern of physical, the financial position. So these, it's getting things done. It doesn't have to be expensive to get things done. So I really applaud that that the step that we're taking.
With regard to the app, I will volunteer to be the beta tester, because if I can do it, anybody can do it. So with that, any future agenda items?
Yeah, something I'd mentioned in the orientation is that it's possible that we can get a tour of the water treatment plant on Atascadero Road sometime. It's not necessary to do soon, but I'd like to see what's in there now. They took out the old diesel units, the two RO twins that are left, and whatever you do down there, I'd like to see that.
If that's a question to me, then thank you. Yes, that's possible. I would... We'd probably do it as a 2-2-1 situation rather than everybody at the same time, just to avoid any perception of Brown Act issues. So, but yeah, that's totally doable.
I would be interested in that as well. This probably falls under the heading of the waterfall master plan as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Arguably, yes. I mean, ultimately the old plant is going to get demoed. Are there some things we could salvage there? Yes, maybe. But yes.
Right, thank you. I was going to add, because that reminds me of something as well. Yes, that's actually on the waterfront master plan is one of the major projects that we're looking forward to this next goal-setting session. And as Greg said, that it is part of that plan will include some of the analysis of the old water wastewater treatment plan. So that's currently is in the scope. We'll see how that pan out.
Any other future items? Okay.
Could I just say that I'll volunteer to help with the app as well?
We'll certainly bring a discussion back on that. And one other item that City Engineer Cecil reminded me of is that, and maybe this is just for discussion very briefly, so we have this revetment and seawall assessment. We have an opportunity to have a joint meeting between the Public Works Advisory Board and the Harbor Advisory Board. If that's this board's preference, it would certainly create efficiencies for staff to go to one meeting rather than two. We also would have the consultant join on Zoom, so we don't pay a lot for them to travel up here, but they would be spending some time on this. So I just want to get some consensus that joint meeting is a good idea.
That does sound like a valuable meeting.
Okay, and I know that a couple of you have some travel plans this spring and would prevent you from coming to this regularly scheduled meeting, but we might maybe piggyback on Harbor Advisory Board's regularly scheduled meeting, and we might be able to get around some of those vacations or trips. We may be looking at March, April, or May, so we still have some planning to do there. But we will keep you informed.
That sounds like a great idea, right? Okay. With that, I think we adjourn the meeting at 6:57.
Thank you.